You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Early this morning, University of Auckland Associate Professor in Psychology, Dr. David Moreau, published findings in the Psychological Bulletin around the effects of fasting on mental cognition. The paper has found that while the effects vary across age and genetic composition, there is no indication of decline in mental performance whether or not one is fasting. I spoke with Moreau this morning about his research. I started by asking about his interest in the effects of fasting on the brain.
So we wanted to synthesize the entire literature, all that's been published up until now on this question, mainly because we know now from, you know, a wealth of research across a number of fields that fasting can be very beneficial, at least for most individuals, very beneficial in terms of health, in terms of preventing diseases. And so we know that fasting can trigger a cascade of benefits in that sense. But for the everyday use of fasting, we wanted to see, okay, is it something that people can actually do while they're doing other things that are mentally taxing or challenging, like going to school, going to uni, like, working, having to be challenged in professional settings. And so we wanted to see if there is a detrimental short-term effect of fasting or not. And so what we found is that, by and large, there isn't, right? And so there's a few caveats there that maybe we'll get a chance to talk about. But by and large, we don't really see any kind of decrease in cognitive performance with fasting, which is good news. It means that we can tap into all those benefits that I alluded to just before without necessarily having a deleterious effect on our cognitive performance.
Were the results that you got in this research what you were expecting to see?
In a sense, we knew that some of the literature pointed towards no clear sign of a decrease in performance following fasting, but it still surprised us, the fact that, you know, there was pretty much no difference between fasted and satiated healthy adults. So yeah, in a way, we were surprised by the extent to which really we could really see any kind of difference between people who had just had a meal and people who were fasted.
You mentioned in the opening of your research paper that these sort of ubiquitous ideas like breakfast being the most important meal of the day and you're not really you when you're hungry, these kind of build this assumption that fasting is bad for you, mentally at least. Do you think that there's some sort of intentional campaign behind this, or how have you observed in this study that how views on fasting have evolved over time?
Yeah, well, I think you're absolutely right. It is the case that oftentimes this kind of messaging was being used in campaigns for, you know, food products oftentimes, and so it might be in their interest there to want you to eat at all times and not fast, obviously. But yeah, what seems to be the case is that our brains and bodies in general are pretty resilient to a lack of food supply, at least for short term, and that we do quite well in that state, and that it, for many reasons, this can actually be beneficial. And so you mentioned those quotes that we talked about in the paper. Now, it's also important to mention that for certain populations, it might be the case that breakfast still is a very important meal of the day, right? So in the meta-analysis, we also looked at age as an important moderator, something that we need to look at and unpack to better understand how it influences our results. And it turned out that for kids, we do see quite a sharp decrease in cognitive performance when they're fasted. So anything beyond just being fasted overnight between dinner and breakfast, kids will have a tendency to see detrimental effects from that. So, you know, morning sessions at school and things like that might be impacted. So they're not well equipped yet at that age to be resilient in the face of a lack of food supply like we are, right? So it's something to keep in mind. It's still the case that if you've got kids and you're listening to this, it still might be the case that for your kids, it's very important to make sure that they have breakfast in the morning. But the old saying that breakfast is the most important meal of the day does not necessarily hold for adult population. So it is something that we can skip without seeing any kind of detriment to our cognitive performance and, seeing potentially important health benefits.
What is the specific time range for a fasting period that would offer the most benefits for the broader population? Or is it more dependent on your individual characteristics? Like, what can our listeners take out of what kind of benefits this could have for mental cognition?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Oftentimes when people are getting started with this, what is being recommended is to start with a 12-hour restricted period where you eat and then 12 hours where you don't eat, and pretty much do this every day, right? So what it means in concrete terms, so you have your dinner at 7 p.m. and then you kind of force yourself or encourage yourself rather to not eat until 7 a.m. right, the next day. And what it does is that, it prevents you maybe from snacking a little bit later in the day, and then listeners out there, if they go to bed a little bit later, they might do 8 to 8 or 9 to 9. It doesn't really matter as long as you've got that 12-hour period. And we're already seeing some benefits with something like a 12-hour period without any food. And then eventually it's a good thing to try and increase that period of fast. So from 12, 13, 14, 15, it might seem like a lot, but people typically get used to this and they're not necessarily hungry, say early in the morning when they wake up. It's kind of, if you get into this habit, it becomes a little bit easier to not eat right away as you get up. So yeah, usually start with a 12-hour time-restricted eating. So 12 hours where you can eat and 12 hours typically at night, of course, that's the easiest. 12 hours where you don't eat, and then pretty much decrease the time you eat and increase the time you don't eat, right? And so you can get to something like 10, 14, and eventually 8, 16 is something that a lot of people find has a lot of benefit. Now, I understand that it's not for everyone. Some people are going to react differently to this and might not handle it very well. But one good thing to keep in mind as well is that it doesn't have to be something that you're able to do every day, right? So if I take myself as an example, so I know that research and I strive to have, as much of that fast overnight, so extend this as much as I can. But sometimes I'm not able to do that. Maybe I've got to, work dinner that's fairly late, or I got to grab, breakfast early for X or Y reason. And so it's not always possible to do it. It's not always possible to sustain this throughout the week every day, but it doesn't really matter, right? As long as you're able to do this a fair number of times throughout the week, throughout the month, this is really something that's beneficial. The only advantage to doing this, pretty much every day on a regular basis is that it becomes easier, right? Your body really becomes easier, adapt to this, and then you're not very hungry when you wake up in the morning. So that's the benefit of that, is that you get into that habit. And maybe for some people, having this as a clear habit for every day is also something that's a little easier to manage.
Will you be continuing to conduct research in this field, or what would you like to look further into?
Yeah, so there's a number of questions that we'd like to follow up on. In this particular research, we weren't able to see, differences across what we call cognitive tasks here. So depending on the kind of intellectual activity that you have to perform after the fast, we didn't really see any variation. So it did seem like not much of that was impacted. But it's possible that there are some aspects of what we do on a day-to-day basis that's engaging intellectually that might be affected more than others. And so that's something that we'd like to follow on as well. The age impact that I mentioned before, with kids being impacted way more than adults, is also something that we'd like to dig into, just so that we can see what's the reason for that, what are the mechanisms, and what can be recommended depending on the actual age in this case, and have more broad and comprehensive guidelines that can apply to each individual.
That was University of Auckland's Dr. David Moreau speaking about his research on the effects of fasting on cognitive performance. For anyone interested in looking more into that research, the paper was called Acute Effects of Fasting on Cognitive Performance. That's co-authored by David.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.